Parshas Chaye Sara. Avraham Avinu returned from Har HaMoriah, from the place where he made the Akedah, ready to tell Sarah the wonderful news of how Yitzchak had been tied to the Mizbeach, ready to be shechted, and was then saved by Hashem's word. But Kindalach, he could never tell this to his wife, because when he came home in the Er Sheva, he heard that Sarah had gone to the city of Hebron to search for him. Avram traveled to Hebron and found Sarah dead. And Avraham's rejoicing turned into sadness. What happened to Sarah while Avram was away with Yitzchak? Well, Kindalach, as you remember, we learned in Parshas Vayera that the Satan was trying to make trouble, trying to stop Avraham and Yitzchak from going to the Akedah. And when he saw it did not work, all of his tricks did not stop Avraham and Yitzchak from going to the Akedah. What did the Satan do? He went to Sarah. When he came to Sarah, he said, "Where is Yitzchak?"
He left with his father to study the dinim of Karbanais, answered Sarah.
"That is not true," said the Satan. "Yitzchak himself is the Karban."
"I don't believe you," said Sarah.
Now, even though Sarah tried not to believe the Satan, but still, these words of the Satan bothered her. She therefore left her house and hurried to the house of the three giants, Achimon, Sheshai, and Talmai. They lived in the city of Hebron. Sarah asked them,
"Please, look as far as you can. Tell me, do you see anywhere an old man walking along with a son and two servants?"
The giants stood up and rose to their full height and looked as far as they could see.
"Yes," they answered, "we see an old man on the top of a mountain. His son is tied to the Mizbeach, and the old man is holding a knife in his hand."
Yes, Kindalach, this was exactly what the Satan wanted, that Sarah should get shocked and frightened by the news. And that's exactly what happened. First, Sarah heard that Yitzchak is tied up on the Mizbeach. Then, another shock that Yitzchak was saved. Well, Kindalach, one shock after another was too much for Sarah, an old woman, 127 years old. And so, Kindalach, Sarah passed away. Our Chachamim tell us that Sarah cried out 6 times and her neshama left her. On Rosh Hashanah, when we sound the shofar with 6 tekiyos, they correspond to the 6 screams of Sarah. When Sarah passed away, not only did Avraham and his family feel so sad and cry, but all the people of the land of Canaan, everyone felt sad when she passed away. Everyone felt her passing, since Sarah had brought brachas, blessings, to the whole country. She had spent each of her 127 years with the same good righteousness, with all good things of Torah and mitzvahs, accepting all of Hashem's decrees with happiness. Even at the age of 100, she still had no sins at all. Sarah was the first of our 4 mothers, and that's why she's called Sarah Imenu, Sarah our mother, the founder of the Jewish nation. She was one of the 7 known prophetesses, Nevi'ais. The Torah tells us about 7 Nevi'ais: Sarah, Miriam Hanavia, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, Devara Hanavia, Chana Hanavia, Avigail, David HaMelech's wife, Chulda Hanavia, who would say Navua to the women at the same time when Yirmiyahu would say Navua to the men? And Esther, yes, Esther Hamalka was also a Navia. Abraham praised her and said, "Where is there another woman like you?" And Kindalach, when Sarah passed away, the special cloud of the Shechina that was over their tent disappeared. The special bracha that was in the food went away. And the candle that had burnt in the tent from one Erev Shabbos to the next was put out. Sarah Imenu was so great that Hashem had spoken to her directly. Sarah Imenu was such a tzaddikus that even the malachim had been at her command. As you remember, Kindalach, when she was kidnapped and brought to Paris palace, she commanded the angel, strike, to hit all the people with a makkah of shchin of boils. And the malach listened and brought the makkah of shchin on all the people in Paris house. When Shlomo HaMelech wrote the song of Eishes Chayil, describing the praises of a very special woman, who do you think Shlomo HaMelech was referring to? Yes, he meant Sarah. All the psukim in the song of Eishes Chayil, which begin with each pasuk with another letter of the alephbeis, all apply to Sarah, since she had fulfilled the Torah from Aleph to Taf. Now, Kindalach, now that Sarah has passed away, Avraham wants to bury Sarah. Even though Avraham had been promised by Hashem that Hashem is giving him the whole land of Canaan, when he wanted to bury his wife Sarah, he found himself without even a small piece of property. He had to go out and buy a piece of land to bury Sarah. And just like in all other tests that Avraham had, Avraham never complained to Hashem. And now too, Avraham did not complain to Hashem, why does he have to go now and buy a piece of land when Hashem promised him the whole land? Instead, Avraham kept silent. He just set out to buy the cave of Machpelah and the field surrounding it from a man whose name was Ephraim the Chiti. Ephraim HaChiti. Why did Avraham choose this special place to bury Sarah? Well, as you remember from Parshas Vayera, Avraham had discovered the secret of that cave when he was chasing the calf which was supposed to be shechted for his three guests, the malachim. The calf ran away, and Avraham followed it straight to the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the cave of Machpelah. Avraham at that time saw a light shining in the cave and smelled the sweet smell of Gan Eden that filled it. Avraham heard the voices of Malachim calling out, Adam is buried here. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov will rest here also. Avraham then understood that this cave was the entrance to Gan Eden. And since then, Avraham wanted this place very much. When Avraham came to the family of Ches, he found them all crying for Sarah's death, for they knew that they owed their success and all the things that they had in this world all to the schus, the merit of the tzaddikus Sarah. When Avraham spoke to the B'nai Ches, to the family of Ches, he spoke to them like this. First of all, he said, my wife Sarah had passed away, and I have to bury her. I therefore beg you to sell me only one single grave, so that I shall be able to bury her. If you do this for me, I'll continue to conduct myself and act like a stranger among you. But if you don't want to sell it to me, then I'll have to act in a different way. Do you know that Hashem had promised me this land? The whole land really belongs to me? I have the right to take it away from you, even without buying it. So you will have the choice, either to sell it to me, and I'll be as a stranger, or I'll have to take it away. Now, Kindelach, the B'nai Ches really respected Avraham. They loved Avraham. They really knew how great Avraham was. Everyone knew how rich, how great, and how wealthy Avraham was. And they were ready to do everything for Avraham. They answered Avraham like this. Listen to us. You are our king. You are our prince. You may choose for yourself any grave that you want. Avraham bowed down to thank Hashem that the Bnei Ches are willing to sell him the grave. Now Avram is going to tell them, which grave does he want? Avram said to them, please go to Ephraim for me, and you speak to him, and ask him if he can sell me the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. That is the grave that I wish to buy. I want to buy it in front of everyone for the full price. Just in case Ephraim does not want to sell it to me, do me a favor and talk him into it, convince him to agree. As soon as the B'nai Ches heard that it is the Ma'aras HaMachpelah that Avram wants to buy, and the Ma'aras HaMachpelah belongs to Ephraim, who is a very simple man, they said, we can't let a simple man like this deal with Avram. Avram is such a great person. We first have to make Ephraim become a great man. Let's appoint Ephraim to become a ruler over us. Then it will be respectful that he should deal with Avraham. Well, Kindelach, as soon as they appointed Ephraim as a ruler, they told Ephraim that Avraham wished to buy his cave.
I don't want to sell it to him.
Aha! You don't want to sell it to Avraham? Don't you know Avraham is great and famous? And if you're not going to want to sell it to him, you will not be a ruler anymore.
Alright, now let me speak to Avraham.
Ephraim came out to greet Avraham and spoke to Avraham in front of all the B'nai Ches.
Hear me, my lord. I will give you both the field and the cave as a present. I have given it to you in front of my people. Now you can bury your wife Sarah.
Now, Kindelach, Avraham knew very well that even though Ephraim said that he's going to give it as a present, Ephraim really had no intention of keeping his word. Avraham knew that Ephraim would not give it to him as a present. Avram thought to himself, I only hope that he will at least let me have it for money. Avraham said to Ephraim, please listen to me. I will not bury Sarah in a place that was given to me for free. You know what people are going to say? They'll say that Sarah wasn't given a proper place for burial. They'll say, I got a place for free. Let me better pay you for the field, and then I will bury Sarah. Now, Avram also realized that even though B'nai Ches spoke to him so nicely, but the B'nai Ches had not really given him permission to buy any property. They only mentioned that they would allow him to bury Sarah in a grave belonging to them. Now they said,
we are unable to sell you any land unless we receive a guarantee from you. You should promise us something in return. We have heard that your children and grandchildren will take over this land. So before we make any agreement about selling you any piece of land, we want you to swear to us that the Jewish people will not attack the city in which we live. That is, the city of Yevus.
Avraham promised this to them, and the B'nai Ches brought copper images on which they scratched out and they engraved the words of this promise. Then Ephraim stepped forward and said to Avraham,
"If you want to buy the cave from me, pay me only 400 big silver coins. That's not much between people as rich as we are."
Now, Kindalach, Ephraim did not agree to take any kind of money from Avraham. He wanted to have from the best kind of silver coins that all business people will accept. Avraham agreed to pay Ephraim these kind of silver coins. Ephraim stood by as Avraham was counting off the silver coins, putting them on the scale, weighing out 400 silver coins. But Kindalach, Ephraim was a big Russia, and while Avraham was counting out the silver coins and putting them on the scale, Ephraim kept on stealing from him, putting silver coins into his pocket, one after another, trying to sneak as much as money as possible away from Avraham to himself. But little did Ephraim know that he will not gain anything by trying to steal from Avraham. On the contrary, he himself will become poor because he's trying to harm Avraham. Yes, Avraham had received a bracha from Hashem. Va'avarcha mevarachecha. I will bench those who bench you. U'mekalelcha o'er. And he who curses you, I shall curse. Now, since Ephraim tried to harm Avraham by sneaking away some money from him, he himself will be cursed. Yes, he'll become poor. In fact, if we take a look in the Chumash, when the Torah talks about Ephraim, all along the Torah spells Ephraim Ayin, Fei, Reish, Vav, Langenon. Ephraim. But when it talks about Avraham weighing off the silver coins for Ephraim, we suddenly see that Ephraim's name is missing a letter. It's spelled without a Vav. Yes, the Torah took away one letter from Ephraim's name to show us that Ephraim did not gain anything by stealing. Instead, he only lost. Yes, Kindalach, this is a lesson that we should always remember. We can never gain more than Hashem wants us to have. Hashem has surely benched all of us to have many good things. In order to receive all of Hashem's brachas in full measure, we should always make sure that we are honest, truthful, and having strong bitachon, hope in Hashem. Then all of Hashem's brachas will reach us in the full measure. In front of all the B'nai Ches as witnesses, Avraham signed a contract, a note, with Ephraim. On this contract, it said the exact measurements of the field and where it was. Avraham read it aloud to everyone. Now, Kindalach, after the sale had been complete, everything was written down, and everyone knew who's the owner for all the future generations. Then Avraham buried his wife Sarah. Ephraim had sold the cave, not knowing of its holiness. All that Ephraim saw in this cave was darkness. Had he seen in it what Avraham had noticed, he would never have agreed to sell it. And now, Kindalach, we come to a very happy part of the Parsha. Avraham sends Eliezer to find Yitzchak a kala. Avraham was now an old man. As the Torah says, Va'Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamim. Avraham was old. He came in his days. What does that mean? It means that Avraham came along with the days. He took every day of his life with him. That's right. Avraham did not lose one day of his life. every day of his life was used in the fullest measure to do Hashem's will. Sometimes we waste an hour here, an hour there, or even sometimes a few minutes, and that time is lost, never to be returned. That's right, time is such a precious gift from Hashem. We should use every moment of it, for the time that passes will never come back again. Avraham Avinu showed us the way to use every single moment of our life for the learning of Torah, for the doing of mitzvahs, and for doing Hashem's will in all of our ways, when we eat, and when we drink, and when we sleep, and when we play. Whatever we do, we should always do it the way Hashem wants, in a Yiddish way, according to the Torah and the mitzvahs. And that's what the pasuk tells us. Baba Yamim, Avram came along with all of his days. He was an old man already, 137 years old, and every day of his life was with him. It was full of Torah and mitzvahs and good deeds. Yes, Avram Avinu knew the Torah and was in complete control of his Yetzirah. And Hashem benched him with every bracha which a person can enjoy on this world. Even though Avram was old, he still looked young. That's right, Kindelach. Until Avram's time, people got older and older without looking old. That's right. You will never notice on the person's face if he is a young man or a very old man. They looked young and for their entire life. Now, since Yitzchak and Avram looked very much alike, many people would not know the difference between the father and the son. Avram Avinu said, Ribbono shel Olam, if Yitzchak and I enter a place together, people will not know to whom to honor. If you would change a man's face in his old age, people will know whom to honor. Very well, said Hashem. You ask for a good thing, and you'll be the first one to have it. And suddenly, the signs of old age then appeared upon Avraham. After the Akedah, Avraham decided to look for a kala for Yitzchak. Yes, Avraham thought, if Yitzchak would have been shechted on Har HaMeiria, I would not have any children, and I would pass away from this world without children. Avram was thinking of giving Yitzchak one of the very special daughters of Oner, Eshkol, or Mamre. But Hashem had announced to Avraham on Har HaMeiria that Yitzchak's kala had been born in Avraham's own family, far, far away in the city of Haran. That's right. That's where Avraham's family remained after Avraham left and came to Canaan. Avraham did not want to wait any longer with his plan to find a kala for Yitzchak. He was old and he thought that his end might be near. So Avraham called his servant Eliezer and said to him, swear to me by my bris milah that you will not take a wife for my son from the Knanim and not from the seven Goyishan nations who live in this land, not even from the very fine family of Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Instead, travel to Haran and look for a wife for Yitzchak from my own family. It is true that my family in Haran are idol worshippers. They bow down to Getchkes, but they also have the special koyach for holiness, for Kedusha, and they can do teshuva. When Eliezer heard these words, a wishful thought entered his mind. Why could Yitzchak not marry his daughter? That's right, Eliezer had his own daughter, and he wished that Yitzchak should marry his own daughter. True, Eliezer had come to Avram's house just as a slave, but now Eliezer is no longer just a slave. Eliezer had become Avraham's best student, who would learn Torah from Avraham and teach it to others. Eliezer was a great man. Eliezer had full control over his Yetzer Hara, just like Avraham. And you should know that Eliezer got such a special neshama being near Avraham that he began looking like Avraham. And Eliezer's daughter was also a tzaddikus. So she could have been a very good kala for Yitzchak. Eliezer thought of this idea in his mind, but did not want to say it to Avraham. Instead, he hinted this idea to Avraham. Eliezer said to Avraham, maybe the girl in Haran would not want to come so far away from her house all the way here to Canaan. Avraham understood what Eliezer meant and said, Eliezer, it is not as you think. Your daughter and my son do not match. You come from the family of Canaan, who was cursed, while my son Yitzchak is blessed by Hashem. And that's why they cannot be married together. But what if the girl would not agree to come with me from Haran? What should I do then? Should I take your son out of Eretz Yisrael to your homeland, to Haran, and he should marry her over there? No, said Avraham. My son Yitzchak is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He was chosen to be Hashem's carbon on Har HaMoriah. He became Halik. He is holy and he may not leave the Holy Land. May Hashem, whom I've told the whole world about, send his malach before you to help you to find the right kala for Yitzchak. But, Eliezer, if the girl should not want to come to Eretz Canaan, you will be free from your promise, and then you may take one of the daughters of Oner Eshkol or Mamre for my son. Eliezer swore to Avraham that he will do exactly as Avraham told him. Eliezer prepared for his long trip to Haran. He loaded up 10 camels with the precious belongings of Avraham. Avraham also gave him a signed note on which it said that all of the belongings of Avraham belonged to Yitzchak. Hashem sent 2 malachim to accompany Eliezer, just like Avraham's wish was that Hashem should send a malach before Eliezer. One of the malachim was to help Eliezer on the way, and the second malach was to bring Rivka to the well as soon as the right time comes, as we'll soon see in the next part of this story. The trip from Hebron all the way to Haran usually takes 17 days. You can imagine, Kinelach, how amazed Eliezer was when he found himself right near Haran only after 3 hours of traveling. Wow, that's Kfitzas HaDerech. That means that Hashem made the road much, much shorter for him. Instead of 17 days, only 3 hours. Eliezer understood that Hashem had performed a miracle by bringing him there so soon in the Schus of Yitzchak.